Reports of alien abductions tend to follow family lines. I have seen and experienced these things with my own eyes. We self-proclaimed intelligent masters of the universe are not much more than a spare part inventory for aliens. That is humbling. It is hard enough for people to accept the existence of 200. The real situation, figure 33, healing by superimposition of tissue, any intelligent life anywhere else in the universe without having to also see ourselves as maintained organ donors for aliens. Even with this truth, however, I doubt that people would run in the streets in panic, or that the stock market would fall, or that the church would disintegrate. We are humans. We are resilient. We are survivors. We will get through this. Our exopolitical situation, because of the intensity of the cover-up of information relating to these topics, we cannot know exactly what has gone on between the visitors and our governments. Let me speculate, based upon my experiences and perspective, about what really happened. Aliens made contact with principal Earth governments years before the Roswell crash. They explained to the Earth leaders that environmental disaster was imminent and that we had to do something about it. Our leaders, however, guessed that Earth populations were not ready for knowledge of aliens just yet. So a deal was struck. The aliens would supply certain 201, the Keeper's technologies to us to help us clean up our environment, which would help ensure human survival and protect their investment in us as an inventory of biological spare parts. In return, certain time guidelines were agreed to, during which our leaders were to carefully spoon-feed all Earth populations with information about the existence and role of non-human intelligent life on Earth. The technology duly arrived, but the appropriate time to disclose never did, leading to a long period of secrecy, disinformation, incarceration and missing people, most of which was done for the sake of national security. We took the technology and made money and weapons with it, and we let the disclosure timetables lapse. It's also possible that the aliens may have delivered even more technology in return for Earth governments destroying all nuclear weapons. They clearly detest nuclear weapons. Once again, we fail to honor our side of the bargain, again because of international distrust and competition. Roswell and other crashes were covered up, not only to conceal the fact of off-planet life, but also to hide the depth to which our governments have been secretly involved with alien civilizations, and the reckless risks our governments have taken with the viability of continued life on Earth. I have concluded that there are three governing levels within our government. 1. The US government that people deal with at face value. This government knows nothing about these topics. 2. The government that covers up information about the alien presence. This government thinks it knows what's going on and stumbles its way around. 3. The secret club, or black budget boys. This government has been around since day one, controls this topic, and the other two governments do not know it exists. In order to protect secrecy and national security, information was suppressed using criminal acts, which is why individuals in the secret government sector do not come forward. The criminal justice system would simply crucify them unless they 202. The real situation were granted complete amnesty in exchange for the complete truth. That way, and only that way, can the truth be told. Once it is out, we can use the technologies the way they were intended to be used and work together to fix the environmental crisis facing our planet. If we continue to misuse our environment as we currently do, the human race will not be long on this planet, and life will not be worth living during our exit process. The possible end of human life on Earth deeply concerns the aliens, who have a large investment in us. They have taken great invisible steps to adjust our environment, but the task is too great for them to do it alone any longer, and they respect the fact that it is still our planet. The aliens and we need each other. We need their technology to fix our environment, and they need our governments to disclose the truth so that we can all work together to preserve life on Earth. Truly, we are all in this together. 203, Closing the Gap. Human, they can't understand. As a whole, we humans have their, chapter 24, potential to be more advanced than they are. The message I received 8 years ago was that our planet was in trouble. In some ways things have improved, but with melting ice caps and extremes in temperature, it's minimal. We need to alter our consumption habits and reduce the amount of heat that we are allowing to build up in the atmosphere. For me personally, the last 8 years with these cultures has expanded my mind and my interaction with them. They only occasionally abduct or pull me from my bedroom, living room or car, in the middle of the night anymore. Most interactions are face-to-face with unconventional, advanced notice, which is a milestone. During these last 8 years, I have had several encounters with people from the future. As far as I can tell, they are anywhere from a few hundred to several thousand years ahead of us. The types of people that come to me speak English and are from the good old USA. It's comforting for me to know America still exists in the near and distant future. These encounters have been fun, and to say the least, most interesting. I will summarize these encounters, which will only touch the surface, but this book had to end sometime. My next book will share more details. I guess that's a hint and a plug. Future people always seem to meet you in the most unexpected places, at least for most people it would be unexpected. I'm much more comfortable being around near future people, the ones that are a few hundred to a couple of thousand years out from now because they are still somewhat like us. When the originating time frame gets out further, 10,000 to 50,000 years, we start to get a little kinky. Within the next 100 years, time travel and much more will be as common as using a remote control. Time travel will be of no consequence, and for the most part boring. Closing the gap, it is now spring of 2006, and so much has changed in the last 8 years that it would take at least 2 more books to go into detail. However, let me touch on a few highlights. Let's presume that what I am about to summarize of the last 8 years is true, because it is. This world is filled with a lot of good people who give and keep on giving. On the other hand, the human condition as a whole is paranoid and selfish, and too often greed is God. However, there is good reason for the negative. We are mortal, and we die. There is no time to evolve. We have to eat at any cost, which means killing something. We must have shelter and a sense of security. This means we must use natural resources. The more of us that exist, the more we need to take from the planet. All of this forces us to compete with each other for all that Mother Earth has to give, and then we die. Truly, we are human animals and I'm damn proud of it. We have to scrape, scrap and fight for everything. I will take human beings over the most advanced alien culture out there, including people from the future. At times I refer to most alien cultures as assholes from outer space. I look at them face to face and say, how come you aren't doing more to help us? I have come to realize why they can't give a straight answer. It's because they are not 204, 205, the Keepers' future people come on tours. I am not kidding. They love to have encounters with people of this era and other time frames to which they travel. They blend in and don't interfere, they just observe. However, the highlight of the tour is to talk to a person of the destination time period, which has been me on many occasions. At times their clothes are funny or they do not fit into our current time period. They speak both verbally and telepathically. They carry conventional American paper money neatly folded and ironed in 2-inch squares. Many of these bills from different time periods fit neatly into what looks like a wallet. When it is time to spend or make a purchase, it's funny to watch them unfold and inspect the bills in front of a merchant to make certain the bills are of the right time period. There is a trust, so under any and all circumstances, you don't give them away, or ask questions. In time they will tell you what you want to know and then some. I have learned that many of the visitors people call aliens are really us from the future. That's right, us. We become far removed from what we are today, and we look more like what we commonly refer to as greys. We get smaller and thinner, our cranium becomes more enlarged, our eyes become much bigger, and our skin color changes to a grayish blue. Whether it's good or bad, we leave behind emotions. How else does one become far removed? I will cite just one example. Ask any abductee how often he or she has seen a grey sit down for a nice dinner of meatloaf with gravy? Answer: never. And their mouths are very tiny, and they don't seem to move. So I would say they don't eat food, as we know the term. Think about what a social impact not eating would have on our society. No more breakfast with the family, lunch with friends, holiday meals, etc. Everything in our world would change. There would no longer be a global food-based economy. At this point, the impact is almost unimaginable, because our day-to-day life revolves around eating 3 square meals a day. 206. Closing the gap. However, there are already some monks who are said to go without food, and breatharians who seem not to eat. More and more people are becoming vegetarians, so our eating habits are changing. So, as the generations pass, we can foresee telling our children what meals and tasting food was like. As more generations pass, it would become an old-fashioned fable. As much as I love eating, the good side of this would be a lot less killing. Now some of the people I have met come back to our day after thousands and thousands of years have passed. Now maybe you can imagine that these future people find it impossible to relate to us as flesh-eating animals. To us they appear as aliens, and to them, we are animals, which happen to be their ancestors. Get the picture? To make your heads spin even further, imagine that it is us traveling in time, no longer being emotional, no longer aging, eating or talking. What an alien world that would be. So, my friends, consider our descendants as the aliens of the future. The river of time flows like the infinity sign, a sideways figure eight. It just happens over and over and over and over and over. So how does one travel in time? In a sense, you just need a boat that's fast enough and you can travel the river anywhere you please. It's best that it stays just that way for the most part, just travel. For the world isn't what you think it is, it's better. 207. The Message, Chapter 25. The Message. My 1995 meeting with a circle of aliens in an abandoned carnival site was indeed a turning point. I knew then precisely what my task was: to help spread the message I was given by these ETs. Most of all, though, I realized how much I, as a human, an entity, had opened myself up to humanity, to a collective, and to reality on the universal level. Before 1988, I had been living like an ostrich with my head in the sand. I had my head pulled out, by no choice of mine, and was forced to take a long look. In order to join the galactic neighborhood, we must first clean up our own backyard. Humankind in its present state is a poor galactic citizen, much too dangerous to be turned loose in the cosmos. However, change we must, if we are to join. Can we do it? I think so. I am different now. Happier? That's hard to say. More aware? Incredibly. My previous senses have been sharpened and I am aware of extrasensory aspects of existence here, existence in an intergalactic level, and interdimensional levels. I have a mission now, a purpose, and that makes life so much richer. I feel myself obliged to serve my family of humankind, and I have a smaller subset of that family, a group of people who have also experienced the ETs. Without these people to share and support me, I would not have been able to survive these experiences and grow from them. Without the help of these people, I would not be able to get my testimony out. I have had subsequent experiences with the ETs and many other odd kinds of paranormal experiences as well. At this point, it's all moot and beside the point compared to this. I have been given a unique purview of reality, and I can tell you, our planet is in grave danger. We must work with the extraterrestrials to solve the environmental quagmire into which we have sunk. However, because of all the intergovernmental conspiracies and foul-ups, to work with the ETs we must forgive and grant amnesty to all those who know about the ETs and have been trying to keep the truth away from the majority of people. Only then can a program for proper integration of ET thoughts, truth and maybe best of all, ET technology be brought to Earth. Scary? Yes. It will be frightening, at first. However, how much more frightening is the death of our cultures and our civilization? Sure, maybe humankind could be resurrected on a planet of some distant star. but there would be no Gulf of Mexico sunsets, no fishing boats drifting by the beach, or shrimp fests. There would be no pasta al dente with extra virgin olive oil and tangy Parmesan cheese, no symphony orchestras playing Mozart or Beethoven, and no poetry in English, French or any language that we know. No, I choose a continuity of survival, and I believe that this is possible even now. I suggest to you that once your fear is gone, the wonder, awe, and excitement will set in, and what the ETs truly have to offer will enrich the lives of our civilization. This, I think, can be human destiny. It is a wonderful possibility to think that it may indeed happen, and it is worth all the confusion, disorientation and yes, the terror that I experienced all those years. When faced with the unknown, it's inevitable that we experience fear, and there's plenty of unknown out there, believe me. Facing it alone is worse, but we don't need to do that anymore. We can face the future together. 208, 209, The Keepers. The message. Now, I ask you to think about what kind of future we might have, with full contact with these ET beings that have been working with us secretly for millennia. Think about the ET technology that I have described, interdimensional travel, faster Earth in light ships, thought-activated technology, genetic tracing, genetic manipulation and incredible hybrids, thought screen imaging, levitation and manipulation of gravity and electromagnetism, ones with great power for pain or for healing, telepathy, and thought control. As a person nowhere near a scientist or even with any grasp of science fiction, I have tried to explain as best I could the kind of powers of mind and physics I encountered. However, doubtless there were things happening, ET technology operating around me, of which I could have no comprehension. This is just the kind of technology that humankind with its ingenuity could use not only to better the quality of life for all, but to fend off the dire consequences of pollution and environmental destruction that our heedless civilizations have wrought. Consider the other implications of my story. I have contributed much evidence to the theory that the human race hasn't simply relied on evolution to develop power achievements and advancements. Although there are curmudgeons who would argue that humanity reached its intellectual peak with the civilization of ancient Greece, there can be no doubt that our race has developed incredibly quickly. In 1869, the US was building railroads to the west coast of this continent. In 1969, the US was landing men on the moon. What incredible things might be happening in 2069? Is this the result of ET manipulation? That's hard to say. What I can say for sure, for whatever purposes, the ETs have no desire to keep our development checked, except perhaps when it comes to nuclear destruction. Whatever their part in our destiny, they wish for us to continue toward whatever cosmic awakening may be part of our spiritual path. I am no spiritual leader, but with what I have seen, heard, felt and experienced, there are things ahead of us just breathtakingly wonderful. The gifts of the ETs are not just technological. The ET gifts of the mind could truly take our sense of self into a healing and joining of humankind. This could break down the barriers that keep us apart with hatred and suspicion. This mental technology could take us into territories of discovery that we are only just now beginning to glimpse, and that our myths, literature and science fiction have only touched on. I now feel the language they so painstakingly taught me was not only common ground communication between us, but a basic foundation for telepathic communication that humans can learn. I am no prophet, either. I certainly have no intention of trying to minimize the potential threats and dangers ahead of us. I'm half afraid that it's already too late. The human race may indeed die here, with our biological echoes having been carried off to some other planet for inscrutable purposes. But if we can somehow survive, touch the sky and reach for our future, we can link with the vast minds and talents that walk among us. I believe the ETs offer rapturous vistas of not just technological advancement, but also emotional and spiritual advancement, an expansion of awareness, longevity, and peace. Ah, that would indeed be a glorious future, and one in which, if I see any part of it, I will have the satisfaction of knowing that my voice, here in print and on the waves of communications, has helped to bring it into being. My name is Jim Sparks and I have been contacted by extraterrestrial beings. I bring a message of grave warning. But most of all, I bear a message of hope for a future of joy and fulfillment for the human race, beyond our present comprehension. 210, 211, supporting comments. I have had many close friends along the way in the last 18 years, and I have lost a few close ones who passed on, my friend Don Watkins and Dr. John E. Mack. I decided to do something different and ask a few friends to write some paragraphs on what they learn regarding the phenomena. I figured it would be a good opportunity to publish what others have learned. I was clear when I offered this chance to these people and said, please write what you learned and not about me. So guess what a few wrote about anyway. Please enjoy the following. Dave D. Rubian, many of you who read this book will question if what Jim Sparks relates to us here is the truth. Some may think that he wrote this book just to make money. Others may think that Jim dreamed it all and just believes they were real experiences. I have known Jim now for over 15 years. I have found him to be a very honest, unselfish and caring individual. From what I understand, those who have written books on the subject of UFOs or ETs have not made very much money. So why did Jim write this book? I can tell you from what I experienced with him, he has been driven to get the information out to the world. I can recall while he was writing that he would start early in the day and many times would go right through the night. I am not going to try to convince anyone to believe what Jim has to say, but I will tell you about some experiences about the investigation of UFOs and ETs. I never paid much attention to UFO reports until 1954, 2 years after graduating from college, when I read an article about a UFO sighting in my local paper. It stated that two law enforcement officers in Connecticut had seen a silver disc very clearly in the sky during their patrol. Back then, if you had the nerve to say that you had experienced anything like this, you would be laughed at. The fact that these individuals were police officers, and were willing to go through that embarrassment caught my attention. About 6 months later, I read an article 212-213, figure 34, Jim Sparks, the keepers in the paper about a priest reporting that he had a relatively close sighting of a UFO. Again, I thought, why would a priest put himself in that position? That started me on an experience of over 50 years of investigating UFOs and ETs. The majority of the sightings investigated by me were explainable. Some were false reports, and about 15% were actual unexplainable sightings of a UFO. In 1976, one started the Rhode Island chapter of MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, which is the largest organization in the world with chapters in almost all countries whose mission is the scientific study of unidentified flying objects. We had many people who came to us with their UFO experiences. Some claim to have memories of being detained by ETs. These experiences cause many of these individuals to have serious problems, such as having to keep their lights on all night because they were too scared to go to sleep. Others could not go to sleep or leave home. Still others became very scared of spiders or other insects after the experience. Many of these people had heard that under hypnosis more could be learned about their experiences. I decided to take the necessary courses to become a certified hypnotist. During hypnosis sessions, I found that many people were taken from their bed and floated right through the wall to a ship. If it was above the ground, they would be put in a blue beam of light that lifted them up into the ship. Many remembered being put on a table and the procedures that followed. Some described the interior of the ship, and there were many other descriptions of men and women seeing their baby or child. There is so much more, much of which you already found in this book. Some people believe that hypnosis may bring out things that are untrue. After owning and operating a large and very difficult business for many years, I cannot believe most things unless they can be proven to me. When three or more people who do not know each other describe, awake or under hypnosis, the same ETs or experiences to me, I must consider that they are telling the truth. This is how I learned about many of the ETs, which Jim talks about. The following are two examples of some other individuals' experiences that, Based on my years of research, I am confident they are truthful. One individual, with whom I have worked for many years, lives in New Hampshire. One of his many experiences was seeing a reflection of an ET in the glass sliding doors to his porch. The individual was 214, supporting comments standing inside his house by the stairway. By the description, I would say the individual was full grown and what we would call a hybrid. There have been many healings done by some ETs. One experience comes from a woman whom I have known for many years and admire very much, who had ovarian cancer and was preparing for surgery. She remembered being taken from her bed and awoke on a table that had been indented for her form. She then witnessed the ETs doing corrective surgery on her. She even remembers the instruments that were used. I have found there are benign ETs and those that are not so benign, just as there are good and bad in all people. It appears to me that there are many more benign ones. Based on what I have learned over the last 50 years, Jim has experienced exactly what he describes in this book. He consciously remembers more about the ET experiences than any other person I have found. My good friend John Mack said the same. Dave D. Rubian, Lal J. Michelle. The government and the press with single-mindedness use one basic approach to confuse people regarding the presence of beings from other planets coming to Earth. They ignore the courtroom evidence. Evidence, according to a legal dictionary, is all the means by which any alleged matter of fact, the truth of which is submitted to investigation at judicial trial, is established or disapproved. Evidence includes the testimony of witnesses, introduction of records, documents, exhibits or any other relevant matter offered for the purpose of inducing the fact finder's belief in the party's contention. In other words, eyewitness testimony and physical evidence related to the incident being studied is admissible as proof that the incident did occur in the manner described. It is important to understand that the position taken by the government and the press has nothing to do with the reality of the ET phenomena. In other words, they know that beings from other planets are routinely visiting Earth and that some species walk among us. They're 215, the keepers for. Why does the press and the government work so hard to keep people confused about beings from other planets coming to Earth? The government keeps people confused because they feel that the people of the world could not or would not be able to deal with the truth, as happened with the 1938 radio broadcast of the War of the Worlds, when many people panicked and chaos resulted. In this case, any risk is an unnecessary risk. It is better to keep people confused. On the ET issue, the position of the press is in part to support the government. The press realizes that if they consistently presented only truths to the people of Earth, the result would be massive demonstrations against the institutions which we require for leadership. Note that I said in part they support the government. They also know that our system of government would not be able to survive without the people knowing the truth on all important issues. Therefore, their method of handling virtually all controversial issues is to tell the people the truth and then to present alternative opinions, regardless of how untruthful or silly these alternative opinions happen to be. This method is used extensively by the press to support the government, as well as to educate the public regarding the truth on all issues of importance to the people of the Earth. There are few exceptions to this practice by the press. To illustrate this point, let's consider the issue of an ET abductee. A person abducted by the ETs may have near total recall of their experiences. Jim Sparks can describe in great detail the appearance of the craft and the beings who abducted him. He can also reflect with authority his experiences with them. There is no doubt that Jim Sparks has detailed knowledge of his experiences with beings from other planets. In my opinion, he has no motivation to be less than truthful. His first-hand accounts are admissible in a court of law, should our government require his testimony. All you have to do is look at his presentation from the point of view of being in a courtroom with the reader as a member of the jury evaluating his case. By examining the ET phenomena in this manner, you will begin the process of separating fact from fiction as presented by our government and the press. I've been a student of ET phenomena since 1991. The first 7 years of information came completely from television and an occasional newspaper article. Many of the programs on the Discovery, AE, History and Sci-Fi channels contain significant truths about R216, supporting comments alien visitors.